This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hour number two here on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network. Five straight victories for your Miami Dolphins. It got out to a hot start as the Dolphins put 30 points on the board in the first half, took that 30-0 lead to the locker room, and they finished 30-15 over the Houston Texans to move to 8-3 and back on top of the AFC East. And they got the scoring started early. Let's go ahead and get to our Lexus Drive of the Game, brought to you by the stylish and versatile Lexus RX. It's built for the modern family. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. It got started with an 8-play, 59-yard drive that put Miami up 10-0 in the first quarter with this pass from Tua Tagovailoa to Durham Smythe.
Back to throw, Tua. Looking, getting some pressure, rolling, now scrambling to his left, throws a touchdown Miami, and it's Durham Smythe with his first receiving touchdown of the year. He ran one in earlier. Dolphins on the board again.
Durham set that up, man. He ran around, brought more time, started one way, comes back the other, had his head looking down in the end zone the whole time, and Durham Smythe breaks wide open for him.
And it wasn't just the play to Durham Smythe. It was the 4th-and-1. We talked about it earlier in the show, Juice. That shot to Trent Sherfield where, man, he caught that ball in some heavy traffic. And that dude is so tough and just so reliable in those key spots like that.
He really is, man. And I talked about it, man. And you've got to be, especially down there, man. Fourth down, I mean, the ball could be anywhere on fourth down. And you got to make sure you make those plays. And I think, you know, the fact that he's able to go in there and hang in there for that big-time catch for 4th-and-1 is big-time. Really, that was the Sherfield and Tyreek Hill series, you know. They really went back and forth making plays for us, especially that, you know, that big one right there that led to, you know, a couple extra plays to get that touchdown accomplished, man. And how much – I mean, let's talk about the guts again by Coach even going for it. I mean, obviously it's pretty much a chip shot field goal, but I love the fact that we get down there, man, and we feel like we got to be able to convert that. The numbers say we can convert that, you know, and we've been able to do it different ways, man. So great job. Great job on that drive, getting it in the end zone. Good job, 81, making sure he, you know, got that ball.
What do you think of the touchdown celebration? Caught me by surprise.
Yeah.
Did not look like the typical touchdown celebration for a Notre Dame tight end.
It did not. It didn't look like anything by some of our tight ends, you know, but it's okay, though.
Say, at least it wasn't the gritty.
At least it wasn't the gritty. That's exactly right. Yeah. You know, you talk about the toughness of Sherfield. You know, you get popped like that by a 6'2", 230-pound linebacker, and they got to walk the linebacker off the field. That guy hurt himself on that. I mean, Sherfield, I don't know what he's made of, but it's looks like steel or something. It's really impressive.
He's not a little dude, man. I saw him next to, well, Jalen's kind of, well, anyhow, he's not a little guy.
He's a tough guy. I don't know if he's big or little, but he is a tough guy for sure. And that touchdown, you know, that wasn't like, I mean, Tua had to make some moves there. I thought that was impressive
as
well.
Great footwork in the pocket, moving out a little bit of left. And yeah, holding Smythe right there. Great throw.
Just enough mobility. That's all he needs, especially with the way this offense is constructed. Just enough mobility to make plays, to just extend a little bit, make that first free runner miss in situations like that. But, you know, I wrote it in my notes here that it was a weird game. We talked about the weird post-game show. I felt the same way.
How about the weird intro to the press conference
that's,
and Sigliari portion.
Exactly. That's kind of where I'm going, because this is a weird drive of the game. Yes, you're just truth. That's just your new name. You're just truth. But, like, a weird drive of the game, because we went through this, and, guys, I mean, we didn't really know which one to pick, because you had a defense score, you had a drive that started at the plus 2 yard line, you had a Jeff, what was the other touchdown we had in this game?
Yeah, Wilson.
Jeff Wilson's touchdown. That was after the Van Ginkle pick, though, right? So I didn't really know where to go, because, Juice, you said there was a 10-play, 72-yard drive
as well.
Goal.
Ended up in a field goal.
Just a field goal. I guess that's probably why we didn't really have a great slam dunk pick, because all the long drives kind of seemed to end that way. But, I mean, it's, you know, how many punts we have today? How many times in Morse
had punts?
Six punts?
Yes.
That's, I mean, he had what, two in the last three games combined?
Yeah, it was.
What a weird game.
That wasn't sustainable, though, right?
No, it wasn't.
But, you know, the majority of those, obviously, were second half punts, you know? So, I mean, he got his work in. Remember how relaxed he was the last game we saw? He wasn't so relaxed this time.
I don't know that I need him covering punts.
Yeah, he wanted to go hit somebody.
I'm okay if he stays back and just tries to get that free. Yeah. I know he's a big, strong guy, but I kind of don't want to lose him.
Right.
You don't want to lose that guy.
Definitely
especially
don't lose him.
With, you know, in playoff games, field position is going to be important if we can get to that
point. And the way he's been holding all year.
Yeah. I mean, he's rescued some bad snaps, too, so he's kind of done it all at that position, including getting lots and lots of sprints up and down that sideline between the cheerleaders over there. But just I thought it was interesting, because I didn't really know where to go for the drive of the game, but we are going with that one because, you know, in a lot of ways, Juice, once it was 10-0, you probably felt pretty good about the way this game was going to go.
I felt really good, man. And I thought we could have scored in the first drive, and we went right back down and scored in the second drive. And I, you know, then it kept going and going and going, man. I just, you know, I was, like I said, I was just happy to see us continue where we left, you know, from the last game. I could have finished obviously better, but hey, get down there, get that drive, you know, get a touchdown, get up 10 points on a team like that, like you're supposed to. Get up big on a team like that, like you're supposed to.
And at home, right? I mean,
exactly,
that's what you're supposed to do.
Exactly right, man. That drive was a big part of it.
Lost my audio there. Weird show like we talked
about. Steph!
I'm still cutting out a little bit there. No, we're back. So that was your Lexus drive of the game, brought to you by the stylish and versatile Lexus RX. It's built for the modern family. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Guys, we have about 3 or 4 minutes left here in the segment. I want to go ahead and finish up here talking about what Tua talked about on the offensive line, because we did see Teron Armstead exited the game. We saw Tyreek Hill leave the game with cramps later on. We saw, I think, Melvin Ingram had to come off at one point. Some injuries that kind of occurred late in this game. Again, it's just such a tricky situation where, like, do you want to keep guys out there? Do you want to, you know, try to prevent injuries? But again, like we talked about, you only have so many guys to roster. But I want to go back to the offensive line, because we did see Armstead exit the game. And, you know, from there, it seemed like that's when things kind of got a little bit murky with Austin Jackson started at right tackle. That was a new addition. His first game back since week number one. He actually left the game, Juice, with an ankle injury later on. And then you kick Brandon Schell over to left tackle to replace Teron Armstead. What'd you think of that unit kind of going through some ups and downs there?
Yeah, man. It's like, it's really weird, because we've seen guys, you know, we talked about it last week or 2 weeks ago about how steady that offensive line had been and all the continuity they had gained. And so a little misstep. You know, you see that, you know, somebody gets hurt, and then we weren't the same unit as we're used to working with each other. So, you know, we like guys that can play multiple positions, but, man, they were gelling so well when everybody was healthy, and that was key to a lot of our success. And then you get, you know, the shakeup at right tackle, which, you know, obviously earned his position back in camp. I mean, back in practice and stuff like that, and you lose Armstead, and you get guys getting banged up, and everything kind of got a little messed up. But no matter what, when Teron's in the game, things always go better for us. So we've seen that over and over and over again.
The impact of one guy has been absolutely crazy. Another guy they brought in this offseason that was just a big, big part of this turnaround to get back to 8-3, like we talk about here, heading into the home stretch, heading into the month of December, Juice, like you always say.
They only remember what you do in December.
And by the way, first time 8-3 in 21 years.
That's a crazy number.
Think about that.
Yeah.
They have not been 8-3 since 2001.
Woo! I had season tickets then.
You had season tickets. You were still in playing shape.
Season tickets on the sideline.
That's
right?
When I got fired.
Well, guys, we have Mike McDaniel next. Let's go ahead and take a break so we can hear from the head coach, who was, as you can guess, long-winded once again today. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. You've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen to get behind the wheel of a new Volkswagen SUV in Fort Lauderdale, Coconut Creek, and Delray Beach. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 30, Texans 15. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins fifth quarter overtime show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guess what, Dolphins Nation? When you sign up for Club Publix, you get perks, a birthday treat, and BOGO notifications. Just visit clubpublix.com. Terms and conditions apply. Let's go ahead and throw it to head coach Mike McDaniel after the game.
Didn't get any cue as far as how serious it would be, so we'll find out more tomorrow. Same with Austin.
Just that. It's not that I
was aware of. No, that was a injury that, regardless of the score, was going to keep him out for the game.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll left the past. Was you guys scramble a little?
No, we were struggling to a degree. I would have that part in that as much as anybody really. There was some play calling decisions that I definitely learned from. I put some guys in some unfair situations. Was way too aggressive, and it was something that I told the team after the game that will I'll definitely learn from, because it wasn't fair to them. And when you do have some lineup changes, you can't play the way that or put them in positions they were being put in. So I don't think that was a fair representation of the group in general. Even if there was some lineup changes, they were able to tee off, and we had an established run game, and it kind of put the tackles in some real, real tough situations. And so something that it will all get better from it. And, you know, the good thing about this group of players in that locker room is they'll hear me say that I need to get better in that situation, not put those guys in the situation again. But the players will take the accountability as well and know that they can work on their techniques to make sure that, you know, if I had a stroke and did it again, that they'd perform better.
Mike, just overall, what's the feeling of going into December football knowing that everything you want to accomplish is in front of you?
There is nothing better in professional football than meaningful December and January games. Nothing better. I'm very excited for our young team and a lot of guys to feel that for the first time. I think it was important that, you know, guys looked at this game through the lens of establishing a good position for that competitive playoff run. We got 6 games left, and that there's no, you have to learn on the job live, and the more that we bring intensity and focus to each and every game, knowing that they're all going to count for, you know, whether or not we're able to, you know, be in the playoffs, whether or not we're able to have home games, all of those things that you want and as a team, you have to earn it down this stretch. So this is as fun as it gets. I'm really juiced for the guys. We have a team that's very, very tight, that is very ambitious, and that is willing to work for it, and that's all you could ask. So very happy with that. And you know, you just wish we could have times the first half by 2. As opposed to dividing it by 0.
Coach, you mentioned accountability. Over the bye week, Jason Sanders, very critical of his own performances here. He comes in today, perfect on field goals, on PATs. What can you say about that accountability and his performance?
That is the coolest thing in sports, is I guess the second coolest thing in sports, because I just said the coolest thing was, right? So the second coolest thing in sports is overcoming adversity. And like I said last week, I fully expected that. He's given me no reason to think otherwise, but it is to his credit that is not always the case at that position. You know, it's such a you know, finicky off a quarter of an inch with your strike or with your plant foot or anything. And you'd find it tough to get it through the upright. So that's very meaningful. And I think he just reiterated and reestablished the respect he already had in the locker room. Everybody had that expectation. No one really even thought twice. I know I didn't hang on the field goal. I was on the field goals when we were attempting them. I fully expected him to drill him, and he did. So happy with that. Happy for him.
Mike, we heard that the 700 play highlight reel as part of, like, I guess your introduction to him, or
who are you talking to? Who's your source?
Broadcast.
Can you talk to us about that? The process of putting that together, and what made you want to do that for?
You try and put yourself in other people's shoes as best you can. I think that's an important component to being a head coach. And, you know, no one really, I think it's hard for people to truly wrap their head around what it is to be a quarterback in the National Football League in terms of, you talk about as much pressure as one could ever have. You have all these teammates depending on you to do the right thing on every play. People are trying to tackle you full speed while you're making split-second decisions, and you're in charge of making sure that our plus-minus turnover ratio is right. That is a hard, hard job. Not to mention, this just in, anybody that's drafted as a quarterback in the top 10, top 5, they want to be good. They want to be good with the I would not want to trade places or wish anybody really to be drafted super high and then fall short of the franchise's expectations. That is a tough place to live in, and that was the motivating factor behind everything. Is you acknowledging that, understanding that, wow, it's hard enough to play an opponent. I better make sure, you know, there's a lot of things that are telling me that this player may not have the confidence that he should. So instead of getting mad at that or doing anything, it was incredibly important that anybody that would listen would be able to see from a starting point, not just, you know, not just watch the FaceTime where I'm like, yeah, you're going to be a great player, to actually know. And it was easy. He had the stuff on the tape, and you know, I think that's a credit to him, and he's to his credit, he's really listened, taken the coaching that he's good, said, okay, coach, I believe you. And I think you guys have seen the residuals up close and personal for a while.
To follow up quickly, I just, were you aware, or what point were you aware that his confidence had dropped that low from the season?
This was not going off of straight fact. This was just using intuition that getting beat up and having your existence be completely tainted by people saying that you aren't X, Y, or Z. And then on top of that, from my vantage point, I felt like he was put behind the eight ball in a way with, you know, his strengths he couldn't play to. And so if you're not able to play to your strengths and in your position that you've, one of the reasons you've gotten there is you're an unbelievable point guard. I felt, how could he, with all the things going on and all the, you know, it's a lot of loud noise that you try to ignore, but people are human. So it was intuition, and it started, you know, seeing him every practice once he started getting, you know, a little bit more confidence each and every day. You could see his personality evolve, and that's when I learned kind of how deep it was, because I'm learning his personality. The first day I meet him is who I know him as. And then you fast forward a month and a half, and he's a different guy. Then retroactively, you're like, wow, that was real. And it's not like he admitted it either to me at the time, live speed. You know, this is something that I think all he did was just come to work, buy in, listen, and then do what he could control instead of worrying about any of it. Is he chopped wood, got with Coach Bevel and Chandler Henley, and they've not done anything but tried to work on technique, fundamentals, and how to play the position at an elite level, and they've done an outstanding job with that, and henceforth we were 8-0 with him. Or I guess that's – he didn't finish the game, but you guys get it. He wins a lot. I think it means a lot because it wasn't just handed to us, it's earned. And I think in the process, the 5 wins that we've had in a row, or the month that we've won, it means a lot because I know it wasn't gifted to anyone, and that they did things the right way, and that shapes the way you do things moving forward. You know, we found different ways after the three-game losing streak that we identified, looked ourselves in the mirror, and were very candid about how can we correct, really challenge the leaders of the team, the captains and the leadership council, and those guys have really taken it and ran with it, as well as the coaching staff. We knew we had higher expectations than what was happening to us in the 3-game losing streak, and thought we should have a better record. So instead of, well, if, but, or when, no, you take those experiences and you do something about it. And that's what I'm happy about, is that every single win was through blood, sweat, and hopefully not too many tears. But there may have been. And you know what? I have a low, small shoulder that people can cry on. So I'm good for many things.
Mike, going back to your old stomping grounds in San Francisco, how long will you enjoy this one before you turn the page to a team you're very familiar with?
I mean, I'm just trying to. Can I get a day? You know, I try not to. You do not want to take anything for granted in this league, and you get a win. It does not matter. Every team is trying tooth and nail to beat you. And you can get delusional in the wrong way if you just move past it. For me, I'll worry about our next opponent tomorrow. And that's who it will be, is our next opponent. Everybody has, or a lot of people have teeth in this league. You go a bunch of different places, but I promise you that next week will not be about me. I refuse for that to happen. This is about the Miami Dolphins and trying to string another win together, because tomorrow I'll be excited to go after 9 wins. Right now I'm just excited about 8.
Mike, in your work to inject confidence, for lack of a better term, was there, when you look at the timeline, was there any moment that you said, okay, now he said something or did something that you said, okay, he's getting to be the guy that we know he can be?
I think within the off season there were some. It was definitely an OTAs, and there was a particular practice in general that he made some plays going against our defense that we've been running a very similar offense, a starting point, the same offense since 2006 or so. So there's core concepts within it that you build from, and it may look different, but the principles are the same. And there were several plays in, I think, a practice in May that for the 12 or 13 years of cut-ups of running said play, didn't have one example of a quarterback being able to pull off a play that he did. So going over the top with that, and then his teammates in an authentic way gravitating to him and really, really being excited about very good quarterback play, once he did that, he flipped and never went back. It wasn't wishy-washy. It wasn't back and forth. It was more that you had to just scratch and claw to break through something. And once he did, he was good to go.
Like there's a back and forth that goes on with O-line and Tua, where Tua has to make plays kind of in a adequate amount of time to help out those guys and vice versa. I guess if anything does happen to Teron long term, or you've played some time without Teron, how has Tua kind of made it easier for the O-line, and how is the O-line kind of going to make it easier for Tua if you don't have that guy?
No, that's kind of one of the reasons I'm so accountable for my part in the end of the second quarter, the beginning of the third specifically, because it's a group effort that has to be committed towards getting the ball out and having timely concepts, and then not putting people in position to be in harm's way. And I think that's something that you have to kind of tackle from the beginning of the week. I thought we had that in our plan. My biggest problem with the game was that I didn't really lean on those portions of the game plan. I kind of went rogue to a degree. So I think that's something that we're all playing football together. Every team you play has very, very good players somewhere. The key is to try to figure out how to make sure those guys aren't the guys that beat you, and then play sound football as a group. And that's what we'll continue to work on moving forward.
There you go. That's head coach Mike McDaniel after the game here. Next, we'll get Big Seth, a.k.a. The Truth, a.k.a. the press conference consigliere, to react to Mike McDaniel, their postgame. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 30, Texans 15. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Overtime Show, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You're listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Tomorrow afternoon, Hawk and Crowder are talking Dolphins. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Give your actions more traction in the all-new Kia Sportage X-Pro with multi-terrain all-wheel drive. With the right tools, anything is possible. We heard from head coach Mike McDaniel. 18 minutes of press conference there from coach after the game.
I love
which
it.
Means we now throw it to the truth himself. Seth, what's up, man?
The truth. Oh, God, I don't know if I like that better or 18 minutes of Mike McDaniel. both fantastic. Great job by, I thought, the press corps as well. I thought a lot of really good questions. I'm going to go a little out of order here because I thought that what Mike McDaniel gave you about Tua and the way that they've built their relationship and him evaluating Tua's confidence level and then watching that confidence level grow, I thought that was really cool stuff. He absolutely makes a great point, Juice, that people have no idea that people have no idea about how difficult it is to play quarterback in the National Football League, and then how to double down on that if you are a top 10 pick in this league and you're not living up to those expectations, how challenging that is for somebody. I thought that was a really cool point. And then he said that, and this is, I think this is the closest thing that you would hear to talking about what he walked into, but that Tua was behind the eight ball. He was in a position where he couldn't play to his strengths with all of the things and the noise that was going around him. So I thought that was fascinating. And he said he didn't realize how deep it was until he started to see the Tua that we see now. And I don't mean on the field. I mean his personality in the locker room. When he started to see that, he was like, oh, wow, this thing was real, because that's not the dude that I even walked into. So I thought that was really interesting. Again, him kind of finding out how deep all of that was. But then what was super cool, Travis, and I felt like – and you might have been out of the room. No, you did hear this part. But he went back to the OTAs in May where there was a practice where after watching the same series of plays in 12 or 13 years, he didn't have a single cut-up, didn't have one example of a quarterback being able to pull off something that Tua was able to pull off in this offense that Mike McDaniel knows like the back of his hand at this point. Really, it's kind of his livelihood, right? This offense is what's propelled Mike McDaniel to be in this position, and he's never seen a quarterback do something that Tua was able to do back in May. And that's when he's like, okay, this is a dude, and we could do something with him. So I thought all of that was super cool stuff. I don't know if you know this, but he's got a low, small shoulder to cry on, Travis. So if you're ever feeling down and out, Mike McDaniel has a low, small shoulder to cry on. So that's a good thing to know. Just put that one in your pocket in case you ever need it. I thought the sacks were Tua's fault. I listened to Tua earlier. He said the sacks were his fault. Mike McDaniel says they were his fault. He took the blame for sacks, said he was too aggressive. You know, coach, Tua beat you to the punch. He already took the blame. But he said he needs to be more mindful of the lineup changes, that he got too aggressive and just kind of made the assumption, even though he said, hey, those guys still have the ability to make plays and making those lineup changes, that he shouldn't have put him in that position. They hadn't established the run game, and that put more pressure on the tackles, put the tackles in a bad situation. I thought that was interesting to learn more and more about offensive line play there. And, Juice, do you agree with this? There's nothing better in pro football than meaningful games in January, in December and January?
Man, oh, man.
Heard it a few times.
They only remember what you do in December, Big Seth.
Yeah, so that was – I thought that was great. How about this one? We wish we could have times the first half by two. Instead, we divided it by zero.
And what does the calculator say on
that? So you go on your calculator. Everybody who's listening to this, if you're still listening, if you're not listening on your phone, pull up the calculator app and go divide 30 by zero. Tell me what it says, Juice, when you get to it. We'll come back to you. Divide 30 by zero. Tell me what your calculator says, if it says the same thing that mine
said.
Error. And that's what we saw in the second half.
Error.
Golly, Coach McDaniel was on it. Hey, these five wins mean a lot, not just because they're five wins, but because nothing was gifted to this team, and they did it the right way. They felt after losing those three games that they should have had a better record than what they had, which I know sounds so obvious, but no, they were like, look, we shouldn't be 3-3 at this point. And they did what it takes to make the record better, and they've won five straight. So we felt really good about that. Of course, they want to ask about San Francisco already. Can you get a day? Coach said, can I get a day?
12 hours at least.
And but, you know, you would expect this from him. Next week will not be about him. They're the next opponent. And that's not – when he says that, I don't think that that's just coach speak. And
no,
that's just
not,
like
–
it's not the 49ers. Is it? But it's like, the reality is if he gets caught up with it being the 49ers, and if he gets caught up in all the, you know, the emotion behind it and going back and, you know, I lived here and all of these things and, oh, there's the guy who gave me my shot and all that, that he can't be the best Mike McDaniel for the Miami Dolphins. And so that's why it has to be that way. And I hope people understand that. That's just not a coach – giving a coach answer, because this coach is anything but that.
Go back to his first win when they poured the Gatorade bottles over his head. He's like, I didn't do S. It was all you guys. I didn't do any of that. Yeah. So that's who he's been the whole time.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
That is the truth. I agree with that. And then another great question where at the end there, I don't know if it was Soffit, I forget who asked the question, but there, you know, they asked about sometimes Tua can help the offensive line in terms of his timeliness or getting rid of the ball at the same time, and then sometimes it's the offensive line that can help Tua, and, you know, and he asked Coach to talk about that, and Coach, you know, you could tell when he kind of rises and gets excited about a question that allows him to talk about football and the way and things that are important to him, and he, you know, and he certainly discussed how it's a group effort. But he said these words that he went rogue on the game plan.
Yeah.
I wish we could get more about that. Like, what was the game plan? What had we expected to see? And at what point did you go rogue, Coach? Because that would have been – but this was final question. Ann had announced this is final question. It's the best they got, and it was a great question. But, man, he said he kind of went rogue on the game plan, and I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, yeah. I think all of this – everything that happened today, we talked about it, getting out to a lead and then, you know, coming back, letting them come back a little bit, you know, resting on some of our press conferences. But I think we're also – so we're going to learn that as a team. But I think he might learn that as a head man now. You know what I mean? When you hear him talk like that and some of the great things he said, Big Seth, especially the rogue part, he's like, you know, I got to change the game plan a little bit. We get guys in different positions, I have to change the game plan a little bit. Is what I took from that, man. So all great stuff, man. I love – you know what I love too? Is that they were talking about that San Fran part. He said, man, I'm trying to enjoy the eight, right. Number eight. I worry Sunday about getting number still. Nine tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Tomorrow we'll focus on nine. Yeah. That was really cool. But you brought up a great point that he did talk about the opportunity to learn, and he's done that a couple. He did it twice in this press conference alone, you know, that he's going to go in and tell the team that he could have done better with the sacks. I wonder in a team meeting if Drew was going to stand up. But no, coach, it was my fault. But actually, they get into an argument over whose fault the sacks were. And those five big guys are going to be looking around like, just like, you know, we know. know whose fault
that
it was.
That was kind of funny when you and I looked at each other because they said the same thing, taking the blame, man. What leadership.
Yeah, it's super cool to see that. But, there was a time with clock management, and he said, I'm going to change my vantage point. And he's not afraid to say, coach will be the first one to tell you when, hey, this is not new to me because I've been, even though I haven't been the head man, I've been around this league enough, I've seen enough. He'll be the first one to tell you that. But he's also the first one to say, hey, this part is new to me. I'm still getting reps too. I'm still learning as I go. I'm going to change my vantage point on this next time because I thought it was a first down and it wasn't. And that delayed my ability to get the next play in. I went rogue. It's an opportunity for me to learn. I think it's so cool. He's so transparent. He's so honest. The media need to be. I mean, golly. I've heard some people complain about long-winded. There's not a coach in this league that's given you that kind of insight, thoughtfulness. Right. It's fascinating what he's willing to, the time he's willing to give to the media and the insight he's willing to give to the media, the teaching opportunities that are there every time he gets up there and speaks. And then he's also fun. You have a gem here.
Yeah.
You have a gem.
You
here.
Talk about the way that he communicates that transparency and, the learning moments. To me, that's where the buy-in comes from, why guys believe in him so much, because he is willing to be genuine in front of you and be vulnerable in front of you when he makes a mistake. I think that goes a long, long way with people, especially young 20s, millionaires out here that are running around playing football. There's one more point I want to get to. We have to take a break, though, talking about that with the thing he mentioned there with, Tua and the recognition of him not being a certain guy or whatever. I want to come back to that. We'll do that next here as well. Game Balls coming up your way here next on the Dolphins post-game show, driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 30, Texans 15. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Miami Dolphins football, live on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560 Sports WQAM.
Dolphins fans, you can be here for live NFL action all season long as the official ticket marketplace of the NFL. Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets so you never miss a single play. Score tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. We teased something in the previous segment. I want to go ahead and put a pause on that once again, though, and come right back because it is time for our favorite segment every single Sunday after a Dolphins victories. Let's hand out some game balls.
This is a team moment, okay? That's a big, big win for this team.
This game ball is for the team, but I gotta say this.
Hell yeah.
Enjoy the victory, but we gotta come prepared next week, man.
Every team has to strap up against us, and that's all we wanted. There's something special about this unit, and today is a prime example. Tyreek Hill. Game ball.
Hey, how about Tua? Tua, get in here and break us down, okay? Get in and break us down.
It's time for Travis, Seth, and OJ McDuffie to hand out their game balls on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Everybody's getting a game ball.
Oh, yeah, everybody's getting a game ball. That's how Travis likes to do it. Let's go ahead and throw it here first to my man, OJ McDuffie. You got the floor first, Juice.
Man, you know what, man? You guys talked about me a little bit at the beginning of the show about how I'm usually offensive heavy and especially wide receivers, and that's been a fact. But, man, if I'd been giving, the big guys last week or 2 weeks ago on the O-line a little bit of credit. And today I'm going on the defense side of the ball because we talk about this guy a lot. Another guy that's like kind of the Tua on the defensive side that has a lot of pressure and expectations because of his draft status, and he's living up to it, in my opinion. My game ball is going to go to Jalen Phillips, man.
Yes, sir.
Not only did he, we've seen the progress all year long about how he's almost getting there, he's making plays. But today, he's chasing down crossers. Today, he's chasing down quarterbacks. Today, he had the quarterback set. He was all over the place once again. And that's been his effort every single time. Sometimes it doesn't show up in the stat box. But, man, his effort has never waned. And we said it's going to come around for him, time for him to make some of these plays because that effort. That effort today, gives him my game ball, man. And it was fun to watch him out there once again.
It's freak of nature.
He just runs. He can run like nobody's business.
There was a play where he rushed inside from his like a three technique, like a tackle position, and the quarterback rolled out to his right, and he just followed him all the way around and cut him down for like a 6 yard gain on 3rd and 10. It's like there aren't many DNs that can run down quarterbacks that have that kind of athletic ability, but he does it all the time.
It seems so good.
And Juicy, I talk about giving out game balls to every player that played that wore the Miami Dolphins logo today. I kind of want to do it again with a pass rush because I feel like they are starting to really get themselves in the position where they are going to be able to impact
games. I can't really say anything because I took a whole offensive line, so I got to give. All right, go ahead. Sorry,
but wait a second. He's already got a game ball.
Exactly.
So does JP get two? Jalen Phillips walks away with two game balls now?
I think that's how it works, right? Might have to put a ball in both hands there and get him out of here with a couple of game balls. But I'm going to Bradley Chubb because I thought that we've seen him just continue to show you a little bit more each week of what he brings to the table with that big sack and forced fumble. And just in that one play, really his only stat of the day was that sack and the forced fumble. But I thought that it exemplified what he does really well because he was the first guy off the football. He has great burst. He has tremendous bend where he can kind of lean into that left tackle and stay on his feet, but while also still kind of getting that pushback and turning the corner to put the quarterback in a bad spot. The length to put his hand on the football when he wasn't really close to it, but he still got his hand on the ball to finish off the play, and then talk about finishing. Just the aspect of finishing is a really big deal for him to put the blind side of most quarterbacks in this league under some pressure, under some duress. I just think what you have with him and Phillips off the edge, and not to mention Melvin Ingram was in there for some pressure today.
Absolutely.
Andrew Van Ginkle gets a sack
solid
in the game, or interception, I should say. So the edge position really is popping off. But I think what Chubb gives this front in terms of their ability to get pressure with just four, it's going to be a world of difference down the stretch. My game ball, Bradley Chubb.
How about that? So you guys both went defense.
Oh, yeah.
And in a day that's been a little bit strange, did we lose our music, too, in the process? I was really getting excited about this. So, and I'm not just doing this for Travis, and it might be a little strange, but my game ball is going to River Craycraft.
Oh, I love it.
Now, right now, you might say, wait, what? He had 4 catches for 55 yards. Travis had to do it. He had to do it. Go Cougs. That's why I was going to go Cougs. But here's the reason why I chose River Craycraft. Okay, 4 catches, 55 yards. Career high 4 catches, career high 55 yards. River Craycraft, we haven't seen him in 3 weeks,
yes.
Right? More than that because he had a bye week and what have you. But he missed 3 games due to a neck injury. First game back, we did score 30 points, but we all talked about how there was more meat on the bone there offensively. Let me tell you about those 4 catches. It's 2nd and 10. Let's go to Craycraft for 11. First down. 2nd and 10 again. Let's go to Craycraft for 11. First down. 2nd and 10 again. Let's go to Craycraft. How about for 22? 1st and 10. Let's go to Craycraft for 11. So all 4 catches moved the chains. And I know our partner here, Travis, we know that OJ McDuffie, like, if I'm going to catch the ball, I want to see those guys picking up those weird-looking orange sticks and moving the chains as well. So 4 catches, 55 yards. That's a tough wide receiver room to get noticed.
Yeah.
But every time River Craycraft is here, he's not going to catch 180 yards. He's not going to catch 10 for 180. He's not going to get 19 targets in a game. But, man, he finds a way to be productive. He finds a way to contribute. And he's now putting up the best numbers of his career. And every time he touched the ball, it was a first down. And darn it, I felt like we needed some first downs today.
Yeah.
So River Craycraft gets my game ball. Yeah. And that's the truth.
But that's a thing now. That's officially a thing. He also
wear it out.
He derailed his touchdown percentage number, though, today because he did come into the game with 100%.
Dude, don't ruin my game. I just gave you a game ball, and you're not working against me here. I didn't say anything about you. You gave a game ball to a guy who had 1 tackle.
I can't top that, Juice. I might have to hand it over to you here. I was just trying.
By the way, Bradley Chubb was a beast out there. Yeah. I don't care what the stats said.
Yeah,
so
both
that was
those guys.
Deserving.
I mean, that's kind of where Phillips had been most of the year for us, right, too, where he was just making such an impact. And we talked about it every game watching, whether it's in the press box or at the station together. We're like, damn, 15 is really getting after it out there. But the stats aren't quite coming along with him. But I think you're starting to kind of see that now where the stats are kind of catching up there to what those guys are doing off the edge. And this entire defense, really. Guys, I teased something there at the beginning of the segment. We have 2 minutes left. I want to go back to it real quick because I talked about, the Mike McDaniel with Tua Tagovailoa and the recognition of, this guy is a different guy than I knew a month ago when I first met him. And I just wanted to ask, I guess Juice would be the right way to go here talking about that coach's perspective because I just to be able to say that, to have that recognition, that self-awareness, That's got to be so unique for someone to bring that. And what does that do for a player to know that your coach is sitting there thinking about, like, well, I mean, this guy, you know, just it's a lot, right?
Yeah. I don't know a lot of coaches that even think that way. Most of them don't care how you're feeling, you know what I mean, or what's going on in your life. They just care about, are you going to come out there and play ball? There's some good coaches out there that do give a damn. But usually at the pro level, all they care about is you showing up and going to work. You know, to recognize that, and not only recognize, but recognizing how to massage it a little bit to get it to that point. How to treat a person, how to treat this person individually. You know, you treat it. And that's one of the things that Jimmy Johnson always said that I agreed with, was that, you know, you treat everybody differently. You know, you can't treat everybody the same because you just got to know your personnel. And he knew how to bring that confidence and that swagger back to Tua. And Tua is – personality is coming out as a result of that. And when his personality comes out, that's a sign of success. And when he's successful, we all are successful, man. So I just think that it's just awesome for me to recognize that. But honestly, if there's one person you want to focus on, it's your quarterback and figuring it out. And he did that and did a hell of a job with it.
It's the most important thing, Ryan. He got him figured out. It looks like we're in a good spot with that quarterback in year number three here. So what more can you ask for there? Again, those were your game balls. Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips, and River Craycraft from Washington State. We had to get a win this weekend. It was a rough Apple Cup. You're going to see me wearing a UW shirt at the facility at some point this week. Don't want to do it, but that's the consequences of making a bet with someone on a T-shirt over an Apple Cup game. So that's what we're doing at the facility this week. Check that out on social media. I'm sure I'll put a post up of it, regrettably. All right. Out-of-town scoreboard coming your way next, as well as what's coming up on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 30, Texans 15. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins Radio Network, where Dolphins fans live.
Dolphins recap tomorrow morning with Joe Rose and Zach Krantz, AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage. So next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. So find a station near you on the Chevron app. Let's go ahead and take our last pause, 10 seconds here, so our stations can ID themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS HD2 Boca Raton, home of the Miami Dolphins, powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
Call 1-800-747-3. That's 1-800-747-3733.
Let's go ahead and cue up the music and get to the out-of-town scoreboard. Week number 12 already, as the Miami Dolphins took back first place in the AFC East with their 30-15 win over the Houston Texans. They lost that lead on Thursday for a few days when the Buffalo Bills pulled one out late against the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving Day, 28-25. The Cowboys downed their division rival, the New York Giants, 28-20 on that same Thanksgiving Day. And the AFC East well represented on Thanksgiving this year. The Vikings, 33-26 over the Patriots on Thursday night. Today's action, we talked about the Dolphins, get the big win over the Texans. The Cleveland Browns, who the Dolphins dismantled last time out here, took down another team from Florida, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 23-17 in overtime. A rematch of last year's AFC divisional round, the Bengals are victorious in that once again with a 20-16 victory over the Tennessee Titans. The New York Jets, what a weird quarterback situation it was with the Chicago Bears today. We heard Trevor Siemian, then we heard it was going to be Nathan Peterman, then back to Trevor Siemian, didn't matter, 31-10, the Jets behind. Mike White, their new quarterback, gets a big victory. The Washington Commanders approved to 7-5 with a 19-13 win over the 5-7 Atlanta Falcons. The Panthers, things are looking dark for the Denver Broncos right now. 23-10, the Panthers get a big win over the visiting Broncos, who fall to 3-8 in Russell Wilson's first year there. How about those Jacksonville Jaguars? A 28-27 win over the Baltimore Ravens. Justin Tucker had a 67-yard field goal attempt at the end of the game that did not go through. The Jaguars hold on. Current game is right now. The Chargers are trailing the Cardinals 14-17. That game is middle of the third quarter. The Seahawks just scored a go-ahead touchdown early in the third quarter to go up on the Raiders 27-24. The Chiefs are up on the Rams 13-3 at halftime, and the 49ers also at halftime against the New Orleans Saints. The Niners lead that game 10-0. Tonight, the Packers at the Eagles on NBC, and tomorrow night, the Steelers at the Colts on Monday Night Football. So that's your Week 12 NFL scoreboard. Let's go ahead and talk about what's coming up here. We got 5 minutes left, Big Seth and Juice, on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. You guys know the drill by now. Drive Time. Had a little bit of a break there. Was nice. Some family time. Nice.
Good for you.
Went to IKEA, went to Bed Bath & Beyond. Didn't have time for the Home Depot, though. You know, it wasn't enough time for that.
Whoa. You getting any manly stops in?
That's an old school joke.
Oh, okay.
You know, I know Preach gets the movie, Will Ferrell. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
Preach jumped up out of his seat.
Yeah, I
didn't know what was going on. Yeah, but yeah,
I missed that one completely. He brings
me the pizza, understands the old school references. Preach, you're my man today. But on Draft Time, we got the recap coming your way tonight. Tuesday is the All 22. We'll tell you what's going on in that offensive line and the entire Dolphins operation here. Wednesday, we'll have the midweek break as kind of a five big picture items look back, I should say. Thursday, we'll preview the Niners game. And then Friday, we'll have a member of the Niners beat on the podcast. The fish tank is humming right along. What's coming up? What do you guys talk about last week? Give me the deets.
the deets. So, well, last week we had, I'm all thrown off now. It was Aiken, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Aiken Adell or Ayudele.
Ayudele.
He learned and we learned collectively. just a fabulous interview. What a thoughtful, impressive guy with an amazing story. And, you know, actually both of these guests, and I'll get to the upcoming guests in a second here, but only played here for 2 years, makes his home here now. But the work that he does in the community, the work that he does as an entrepreneur, his commitment to family, and just what he had to overcome growing up to build a career that he built was really cool, and he was willing to share all that in the tank, so that was awesome. And then this coming Tuesday, we're going to have Brendan Iambadejo. So if you don't remember him as a Miami Dolphin, his first 2 years in the NFL were here with the Dolphins. But that guy, his story, and again, a guy who overcame adversity, Juice, in 4 years, he played for four different football leagues. He got cut from two different NFL teams in 4 years, played for two different Canadian teams, played for the Amsterdam Admirals in NFL Europe, played for the LA Extreme in the XFL, then finally he gets a chance to play for the Miami Dolphins, and he shows up, and guess who's on the roster? His brother, Obafemi Iambadejo. So he gets to team up with his brother in his first season as an NFL player. So that was super cool. And then all he does is go on to play 10 seasons in the NFL, go to the Pro Bowl 3 times, go to the Super Bowl 2 times, and win one.
Yep.
Pretty impressive guy.
Hell of a career.
What were his years here? Do you remember?
Was that 03, 04? It was 2003, 2004. We had a great conversation about the interception he made right in that corner over there.
Monday night football, orange jerseys.
The Patriots are 12-2 or 12-1. The Dolphins are 2-11. Yeah. But then JT's pulling Brady to the ground. Brady throws one up. Brendan picks it off. It was the biggest play of his career up to that point. Well, because he'd only played for 2 seasons. But he said it's one of his fondest memories. The Dolphins go in. A.J. Feely somehow figures it out, throws a touchdown to, is it Darius Thompson or something. And the Dolphins win. The Dolphins, you know, beat the Giants, and not the New York the Giants, but the Giants in the NFL at that point in time. Of course, the Patriots went on to win the Super Bowl anyway. Point of this conversation is Brendan Iambadejo, great guy, really impressive guy, has been very successful in business afterwards, and also is a civil rights activist, is an activist for the LGBTQ community, just super cool stuff, man. So sometimes they aren't the biggest names that dive in the tank, Juice, but, man, their stories are incredible.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it on the head with everything. I mean, these guys, they were so much fun to watch. And you know what I really enjoyed most about, you know, talk about their football careers, but their post-football careers are incredible. You know, and that's one of the best parts of the stories, and how they use football, you know, in business. You know, Aiken's story was great about how, you know, he learned, you know, a lot of what he was doing kind of on the fly, but now he's great at it. But a lot of that comes from football, you know. And, of course, Brendan, you know, what he's doing with Orange Theories is just super impressive, man. So, yeah, great, great guest, you know, but I love what they're doing post-careers.
That's back-to-back linebackers for you guys, Juice.
Yeah, I can't get out of you know, linebacker territory. Big Seth, man. We had too many wideouts and stuff and all that offense.
Back-to-back linebackers who only played here 2 years of Nigerian descent, who turns out went and got their masters after they retired together at George Washington University. Really cool the way they were connected, the way it all fell together. But just two great storytellers.
Seth, you know, McDaniel mentioned how for 12, 13 years you never saw a player do what Tua did in an OTA clip. You are doing things on this postgame show that I have not seen anyone in the radio business do with your weird weird connections. The numbers of the guys that had the sacks.
Oh, that's a good one.
That was a
I
good
might
one.
Have to get that on video.
Yeah, we'll have to get a social video for that because we can't do it here with 30 seconds left on the radio.
Oh,
show,
no, I won't do it.
It was pretty good.
I was going to try.
And then the two-year linebackers here that both were Nigerian descent who went on to have great business careers after the fact. You're nailing it, man. Just
yes,
taking
sir.
Us home. Speaking of that, let's go ahead and get out of here. Antennas up, game on. Score your favorite games and shows for free. Visit thefreetvproject.org to learn about all the free programming waiting for you, including Miami Dolphins games. That's free TV.
This is the official Miami Dolphins radio network, where Dolphins fans live.
Dolphins recap tomorrow morning with Joe Rose and Zach Krantz. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage. So next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. So find a station near you on the Chevron app. Let's go ahead and take our last pause, 10 seconds here, so our stations can ID themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS HD2 Boca Raton, home of the Miami Dolphins, powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
Call 1-800-747-3. That's 1-800-747-3733.
Let's go ahead and cue up the music and get to the out-of-town scoreboard. Week number 12 already as the Miami Dolphins took back first place in the AFC East with their 30-15 win over the Houston Texans. They lost that lead on Thursday for a few days when the Buffalo Bills pulled one out late against the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving Day, 28-25. The Cowboys downed their division rival, the New York Giants, 28-20 on that same Thanksgiving Day. And the AFC East, well represented on Thanksgiving this year. The Vikings, 33-26 over the Patriots on Thursday night. Today's action, we talked about the Dolphins, get the big win over the Texans. The Cleveland Browns, who the Dolphins dismantled last time out here, took down another team from Florida, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 23-17 in overtime. A rematch of last year's AFC divisional round. The Bengals are victorious in that once again with a 20-16 victory over the Tennessee Titans. The New York Jets, what a weird quarterback situation it was with the Chicago Bears today. We heard Trevor Siemian, then we heard it was going to be Nathan Peterman, then back to Trevor Siemian. Didn't matter. 31-10. The Jets behind Mike White, their new quarterback, gets a big victory. The Washington Commanders approved to 7-5 with a 19-13 win over the 5-7 Atlanta Falcons. The Panthers, things are looking dark for the Denver Broncos right now. 23-10, the Panthers get a big win over the visiting Broncos, who fall to 3-8 in Russell Wilson's first year there. How about those Jacksonville Jaguars? A 28-27 win over the Baltimore Ravens. Justin Tucker had a 67-yard field goal attempt at the end of the game that did not go through. The Jaguars hold on. Current game is right now. The Chargers are trailing the Cardinals 14-17. That game is middle of the third quarter. The Seahawks just scored a go-ahead touchdown early in the third quarter to go up on the Raiders 27-24. The Chiefs are up on the Rams 13-3 at halftime, and the 49ers also at halftime against the New Orleans Saints. The Niners lead that game 10-0. Tonight, the Packers at the Eagles on NBC, and tomorrow night, the Steelers at the Colts on Monday Night Football. So that's your Week 12 NFL scoreboard. Let's go ahead and talk about what's coming up here. We got 5 minutes left, Big Seth and Juice, on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. You guys know the drill by now. Drive time. Had a little bit of a break there. Was nice. Some family time. Nice.
Good for you.
Went to IKEA, went to Bed Bath & Beyond. Didn't have time for the Home Depot, though. You know, it wasn't enough time for that.
Whoa. You didn't get any manly stops in?
That's an old school joke.
Oh, okay.
You know, I know Preach gets the movie, Will Ferrell. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
Preach jumped up out of his seat.
Yeah, I
didn't know what was going on. Yeah, but yeah,
I missed that one completely. He brings
me the pizza, understands the old school references. Preach, you're my man today. But on Draft Time, we got the recap coming your way tonight. Tuesday is the All-22. We'll tell you what's going on in that offensive line and the entire Dolphins operation here. Wednesday, we'll have the midweek break as kind of a five big picture items look back, I should say. Thursday, we'll preview the Niners game. And then Friday, we'll have a member of the Niners beat on the podcast. The fish tank is humming right along. What's coming up? What do you guys talk about last week? Give me the deets.
the deets. So, well, last week we had, I'm all thrown off now. It was Aiken, right? Yeah, Aiken Adell or Ayudele.
Ayudele.
He learned and we learned collectively. just a fabulous interview. What a thoughtful, impressive guy with an amazing story. And, you know, actually both of these guests, and I'll get to the upcoming guests in a second here, but only played here for 2 years, makes his home here now. But the work that he does in the community, the work that he does as an entrepreneur, his commitment to family, and just what he had to overcome growing up to build a career that he built was really cool, and he was willing to share all that in the tank, so that was awesome. And then this coming Tuesday, we're going to have Brendan Iambadejo. So if you don't remember him as a Miami Dolphin, his first 2 years in the NFL were here with the Dolphins. But that guy, his story, and again, a guy who overcame adversity, Juice, in 4 years, he played for four different football leagues. He got cut from two different NFL teams in 4 years, played for two different Canadian teams, played for the Amsterdam Admirals in NFL Europe, played for the LA Extreme in the XFL, then finally he gets a chance to play for the Miami Dolphins, and he shows up, and guess who's on the roster? His brother, Obafemi Iambadejo. So he gets to team up with his brother in his first season as an NFL player. So that was super cool. And then all he does is go on to play 10 seasons in the NFL, go to the Pro Bowl three times, go to the Super Bowl twice, and win one.
Yep.
Pretty impressive guy.
Hell of a career.
What were his years here? Do you remember?
Was that 03, 04? It was 2003, 2004. We had a great conversation about the interception he made right in that corner over there.
Monday night football, orange jerseys.
The Patriots are 12-2 or 12-1. The Dolphins are 2-11. Yeah. But then JT's pulling Brady to the ground. Brady throws one up. Brendan picks it off. It was the biggest play of his career up to that point. Well, because he'd only played for two seasons. But he said it's one of his fondest memories. The Dolphins go in. A.J. Feely somehow figures it out, throws a touchdown to, is it Darius Thompson or something. And the Dolphins win. The Dolphins, beat the Giants, and not the New York the Giants, but the Giants in the NFL at that point in time. Of course, the Patriots went on to win the Super Bowl anyway. Point of this conversation is Brendan Iambadejo, great guy, really impressive guy, has been very successful in business afterwards, and also is a civil rights activist, is an activist for the LGBTQ community, just super cool stuff, man. So sometimes they aren't the biggest names that dive in the tank, Juice, but, man, their stories are incredible.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it on the head with everything. I mean, these guys, they were so much fun to watch. And you know what I really enjoyed most about, talk about their football careers, but their post-football careers are incredible. You know, and that's one of the best parts of the stories, and how they use football, in business. Aiken's story was great about how, he learned, a lot of what he was doing kind of on the fly, but now he's great at it. But a lot of that comes from football, and of course, Brendan, what he's doing with Orange Theories is just super impressive, man. So, yeah, great guest, but I love what they're doing post-careers.
That's back-to-back linebackers for you guys, Juice.
Yeah, I can't get out of linebacker territory. Big Seth, man. We had too many wideouts and stuff and all that offense.
Back-to-back linebackers who only played here 2 years of Nigerian descent, who turns out went and got their masters after they retired together at George Washington University. Really cool the way they were connected, the way it all fell together. But just two great storytellers.
Seth, McDaniel mentioned how for 12, 13 years you never saw a player do what Tua did in an OTA clip. You are doing things on this postgame show that I have not seen anyone in the radio business do with your weird connections, the numbers of the guys that had the sacks.
Oh, that's a good one.
That was a good
one.
I might
have to get that on video.
Yeah, we'll have to get a social video for that because we can't do it here with 30 seconds left on the radio.
Oh, no, I won't do it.
It was pretty good.
I was going to try.
And then the two-year linebackers here that both were Nigerian descent who went on to have great business careers after the fact. So you're nailing it, man. Just taking us home. Speaking of that, let's go ahead and get out of here. Antennas up. Game on. Score your favorite games and shows for free. Visit thefreetvproject.org to learn about all the free programming waiting for you, including Miami Dolphins games. That's freetvproject.org. Thanks to Kim Bocamper, Joe Rose, and the voice of the Miami Dolphins, Jimmy Cefalo. Our executive producer is Alejandro Solana. Today's studio producers, Robert Griepert, Trevor Harris, and Matt Wilson. Our radio booth engineer was Steph, the specialist for OJ McDuffie, Seth Levitt, DJ Preesh on the Pepsi, on the pizza, on the stats, on all the stuff. I am Travis Wingfield. The final score of today's game, Dolphins 30, Texans 15. Next week, Miami begins the first of three straight road games. 4:05 kickoffs, boys. Not my favorite. Traveling to San Francisco to take on the 49ers. Alex Dono continues reacting to today's game next on the local Miami Dolphins postgame show live on AM 560 Sports WQAM. We'll speak to y'all next Sunday after Dolphins Niners. This has been the Dolphins postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.